From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. New information on jobs traceable to the federal government's economic stimulus efforts is due out later today, but the White House is already claiming credit for creating or saving more than 650,000 jobs through September. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Local governments, private companies, and nonprofit groups that receive stimulus dollars were required to account for any jobs paid for with that money. Administration officials say when those numbers are added up later today, they'll total about 650,000 jobs. Those are positions directly traceable to government spending. The figure doesn't include any multiplier effect from when government contractors buy supplies, for example, nor do they include any jobs generated as a result of stimulus tax cuts. White House economists estimate when those are factored in, the total would climb to at least 1 million jobs created or saved through the stimulus so far. That hasn't been enough to offset persistent job losses, though, and the nation's unemployment rate has climbed to almost 10%. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is imposing a record $87 million fine on the British oil company BP. OSHA says BP failed to correct safety hazards after an explosion in 2005 killed 15 people at BP's Texas City refinery. OSHA says a six-month inspection revealed hundreds of ongoing violations of an agreement to fix the problems. Commuters in the San Francisco Bay Area start their third day without the services of the Bay Bridge as crews work around the clock to repair a cracked steel beam. As NPR's Richard Gonzalez reports, officials still cannot guarantee when the work will be done.
Thursday was a day of conflicting signals from Caltrans officials as they expressed optimism that the bridge might be repaired and reopened sometime this morning. But now they are backing off from any projections. The bridge, which was closed on Tuesday night, carries some 280,000 vehicles every day. On the Labor Day weekend, a cracked I-bar beam was discovered. Officials arranged an emergency repair, but that fix didn't hold, and thousands of pounds of metal came crashing down onto traffic. No one was seriously hurt. Officials say even when their work is completed, it will take several hours of testing and inspection before the bridge is reopened. Richard Gonzalez, NPR News, Oakland.
At least one person is dead in Louisiana as heavy rain and at least two tornadoes swept through the Shreveport area. In Arkansas, at least two tornadoes touched down as the storm system churned through. The fierce autumn snowstorm that has dumped 3 feet of snow on parts of Utah, Wyoming, and Colorado is slowly moving into Kansas and Nebraska. Checking Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 67 points at 98.95. The Nasdaq Composite is down 9 at 20.89. This is NPR News. As early as next month, internet addresses may be available in Arabic, Chinese, Korean, and other scripts. From Seoul, Dwali Zaikautau reports.
It took years of debate, but the California nonprofit responsible for domain names has voted to allow at least 17 non-Latin scripts to be used for web addresses. The president of Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers said in Seoul that this is an historic move toward the internationalization of the internet. Hae-young Kang of the Korea Security Agency agrees. Having a Korean language domain means the internet can be accessed locally, and through this increase in cultural accessibility, more internet users can make use of the web. More than half of the world does not use the Latin script. For NPR News, I'm Dwahli Saikautau in Seoul.
As automakers in Europe, Japan, and North America struggle, China's leading car maker, SAIC, says its third-quarter profit jumped ninefold in the latest quarter. Tax breaks and subsidies in its domestic Chinese market prompted a surge in sales. SAIC has joint venture manufacturing operations with General Motors and Volkswagen. It says it earned $371 million during its most recent quarter. More union locals representing Ford Motor Company workers in the U.S. have voted down proposals to bring Ford's labor costs in line with those of Chrysler and General Motors. Employees at two Michigan facilities have overwhelmingly rejected the proposals, and now at least eight United Auto Workers locals representing more than 12,000 Ford workers have turned down the proposed deal. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.